The intrusive digital distractions in our cars are both part of the 21st century background noise of life itself, and they are an intentional product of bringing our electronic world into our cars. Remember, cell phones were originally called car phones. What will reverse the distraction factor? Car makers have started offering voice-activated systems that let drivers compose hands-free emails and text messages in their cars and even make updates on Facebook, but this may be about freeing your mind as much as freeing your hands there in the driver's seat. Kara Miller has been exploring all of this as host of the show Innovation Hub, produced by WGBH in Boston. Kara, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So let's tackle this question of hands-free versus mind-free. Can the brain do what the car company's new technologies suggest we might safely do?
I think the bottom line is the research suggests no. But what's amazing is that, you know, AAA has said there is an arms race in the car amongst car manufacturers to basically make your car an extension of your tablet, of your home office, right? So it's kind of a rolling laptop that comes with you everywhere. And you see almost every car manufacturer getting into this. So Ford, for example, has a system called Sync. It lets you control your phone apps by speaking. It will read you texts. It actually understands emoticons, right? So when somebody sends you that smiley face, it gets it. It also has this screen in the center. The idea is it's supposed to be in the dashboard so you can still look at the road and check out your music library and check out your phone contacts. But as you say, the real question is, how do our minds do with this?
And there are some skeptics. Nicholas Carr, author of The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, is not terribly confident that we can both watch the road and have an emotional relationship with our dashboard. Listen.
Even when we have a technology that allows us to speak texts, even that is very distracting in a way that I don't think we're so conscious of, because we assume that if our eyes are focused out on the road, that the fact that we're composing something in our mind probably doesn't intrude on our attentiveness, whereas, in fact, it does.
So hands-free, head full, still leads to distracted driving, Kara.
Yet what we see actually is this avalanche of research coming together over the past few years to show that when your hands are on the wheel, it doesn't mean your mind is on the road. So researchers from Toronto actually looked at brain activity when you're doing different things in the car. And it turns out that when you're on the phone, even if it's hands-free, that the part of your brain that governs space and thinking about depth perception, the activity has moved out of that area into the place where there's sort of deep cognitive thinking, right? Because somebody's probably saying, let me help you think through a problem, or let's talk about this. And so you've sort of lost the ability to really drive in a clear way. There's some fascinating stuff out of Virginia Tech that actually layers the problems of distraction. So it turns out that applying makeup and dialing are the absolute worst things you can do. They tend to triple your likelihood of being in an accident. The easiest things to do are to, like, sip a cup of coffee and smoke, apparently, in the car. And then in the middle, with things that double your likelihood of getting in an accident are talking, listening, eating, and, like, putting in a CD.
And so, you don't need an fMRI to conclude that this is a problem. I mean, if somebody's talking to you about, oh, wouldn't it be great to go to a beach resort somewhere, suddenly your visual parts of your brain are thinking about that as much as the road. What's fascinating to me is that the tension here is we want to be safe, but there's also a huge demand for this kind of technology in the cars, according to Clifford Nass, who co-directs the Center for Automotive Research at Stanford.
The automotive industries are pulling their hair out. On the one hand, people are dying for more and more screens in the car, more and more content in the car. At the same time, they're on the road and cars aren't fully autonomous yet or automated, that they don't have to pay attention. People get in the habit of mind of using multiple media at one time. Even when they try to look at one thing, their brains in some sense don't allow it.
Or their kids in the back seat don't allow it. If they're screaming, there's all kinds of distractions here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a professor at the University of Utah who tested what it does to your brain to be talking on the phone. And it turns out that talking on the phone is like driving with a 0.08 blood alcohol level, which in many states is over the limit. So, I mean, it really, really – and people think exactly as Clifford Nass said. People think, I can totally do it. I am not distracted. And that's, in a way, the danger.
So the driverless car is the solution here, right?
Yeah. I think it is. I would love a driverless car because I feel like – so personally, I think it would kind of free you up to do other things in the car. Traffic doesn't matter as much. And the amazing thing about the driverless car is it seems like it is coming to a garage near you. Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google, which is famous for having driven its own driverless car hundreds of thousands of miles, done really, really well, he thinks they're going to be on the market by 2017. I mean, that is really soon. But then you also have other companies that are getting into the act here, and they are piece by piece trying to get in little bits of driverless driving into cars. They're already working with Volvo, GM, and so there's going to be little bits of this. So, for example, one thing that they're working on is if a pedestrian comes out in front or behind your car, the driverless function will take over and make sure you don't hit the pedestrian.
So
or it'll look at the blind spot.
So part-time hybrid driverless cars as a prelude to the actual driverless car. And it sounds like I'm going to have to stand in line behind you, Kara, for one of these driverless cars.
I'm sorry. I mean, currently they're $150,000, so I'm not in line yet. but yeah, but I think in 10 or 15 years, it could be here. That's the amazing thing.
Kara Miller, host of the Innovation Hub, WGBH.